bringing Seattle to the world and the world to Seattle. Follow us on Twitter at iGuestInfo. Send us your questions and we'll try to answer. Now enjoy the show.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome everybody back to Northwest Prime. Thank you for tuning in with us again today. We have a big show. You know, here at Northwest Prime, we're highlighting nice people doing great things around the world. We have two great people for you again today. But first, I did want to take a minute to thank everybody for forwarding our Nice People shows on to nice people that you know, sharing them on Twitter, sharing them on Facebook, sharing the shows through email. I really sincerely appreciate that, and I hope you enjoy the show that we have for you today. Our first guest is Molly Finan. She's one of the founders of the hit eyewear company for children called Babyators. It's really just kind of taken over the world, this eyewear line for children. My daughter works for a eye doctor. I was talking to her last night, and I was showing her these sunglasses for kids, and she said it was just a fantastic idea. She hadn't even heard of it. But she said they get people in all the time later in life having cataract surgery, which is, painful. And it's come from sun exposure as children and the damage that has come to the eye from when you were being a child. And so it catches up with you later in life. She was really amazed by it. I gave the product to two toddlers yesterday, and the glasses look as good as they did right out of the box. So we're going to talk to Molly about that because she really has a passion for protecting children's eyes from the UV rays, and she's done it in a fashion-conscious way on top of everything else. So we're going to talk to Molly about that. And then in the second part of our show, we have Patrick Seibin, and he is an Emmy Award winner, and he's also a very talented musician. He's opened for acts like Bon Jovi. He's working with Grammy-nominated singer and songwriters. He's performing in Las Vegas right now. He's taking his show on the road. He has a hit, Hollow. I've played it here on the show several times, and it's one of my favorite songs from an unsigned artist. Patrick has recently played for former President Clinton and Vice President Biden. He also has performed for the troops overseas in the Middle East, so we're going to ask him about that. Again, just another really great guy with an amazing talent that we want to highlight for you today. So both of these people are helping society in a positive way, and we're going to talk to them. And while I get to Molly on the phone, I want you to listen to Caitlin Logan. She's another unsigned artist here in Seattle. She has a great song called The River and the Rain, and you can listen to that, and I will be right back with Molly from Babyators.
Can you hear that sweet sound by the river and
right. That was Caitlin Logan, River and the Rain. Welcome back to Northwest Prime. And as promised, I have Molly from Babyators on the line. And if you know anything about what's going on in pop culture, Babyators has run across your radar at some point. And if you haven't, and believe me, I've just found out today there's been a lot of people who don't know about Babyators, and that's my goal, is to bring this to you today. A lot of people do. I was tweeting on Twitter just a little while ago, and somebody in the UK tweeted back, and they're like, I just ordered a pair of Babyators today, and that was in the UK. So if the UK knows about them, we got to know about them. So, Molly, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
So tell me how this whole concept of eye protection, eyeglasses, or sunglasses for babies and toddlers started.
Sure. Well, the aha moment for Babyears, or where we came up with it, is I'm a military wife. My husband is a fighter pilot for the Marine Corps. We were living in near a base in South Carolina, and all the families meet the pilots when they fly home from their trips, from the mini deployments or the larger deployments. And I was waiting for my husband on the flight line with all the families of the squadron, and noticed on this really sunny day that all the adults had sunglasses on and none of the kids did, and the kids were running around kind of squinting, looking at the ground, trying to naturally protect their eyes from the sun. And I thought, wow, the military actually issues aviator sunglasses for the pilots to protect their eyes, so why not issue aviators for babies and children, or babyators to protect children's eyes? Told my husband about it that night. He thought it was a great idea, and we later, had dinner with two good friends of ours who were like, let's do this. I love the idea. I love the concept. At the beginning, it was sort of like, cute, aviators for babies. And when we did our market research, we realized the importance of protecting children's eyes from the sun. Parents are so diligent about protecting skin from the sun, slathering on the SPF and the sunblock and putting on the rash guards and then walk outside and forget their eyes. But children's retina are actually more susceptible to sun damage than adult retina, so it's even more important for children to be wearing sun protection for the eyes.
It makes total sense. I wear contacts, and so when you wear contacts, the pupil in your eye kind of dilates a little more, and so you're even more sensitive to sunlight. So I wear a lot of sunglasses just because, it hurts, with the sun. I like sunglasses anyway. I'm kind of a sunglass freak on top of everything else. So but it made total sense to me as soon as I saw Babyators, and I've known about Babyators probably about a year, so I've been watching it kind of grow and that type of thing. And you've had really tremendous success with it. I mean, it's been on the Ellen Show. I mean, there's all kinds of celebrities. The celebrities are protecting their children's eyes. So it's really caught on a celebrity level.
Mm-hmm. We're really excited. The momentum, and I think just really fulfilled a need out there in the market, and did so in a kind of a stylish, fun, clever way with bright colors, and the kids literally just put them on and instantly get this attitude. It just kills me. But basically, we launched in about 6 months after the day I just told you about, when we kind of conceptualized it, or maybe 9 months. Took a couple months to incorporate and get the legal side going. But basically, March 2011 started selling, and within 12 weeks, we were in 100 stores. We went from 1 to 100 stores in 12 weeks, just my partner Carolyn and I kind of cold calling mom-and-pop children's boutiques and toy stores. And then shortly thereafter, we spoke with a Nordstrom buyer. They were excited to start carrying us, diapers.com, and now have moved into Bloomingdale's.com, Amazon, Kitson, which is a big sort of celebrity hangout in L.A. where a lot of the celeb shop. And we were lucky that, Sarah Jessica Parker's twins actually really early on went through a phase or a couple weeks where they wouldn't leave their townhouse without them. I think mainly because, mom puts them on to, protect herself from the paparazzi, since they're in New York. They're right on the street outside your house. So when mommy is wearing her sunglasses, the little girls wanted to, too. So all three of them would walk out in their aviators and the girls in babyators. And it would just, we were like, oh, my God, this is amazing. It was really exciting. And And you know, not just the celebrity angle, but just having such customer support and the positive feedback that you know, send us messages on Facebook or photos on Facebook of their kids styling baby dress. That's the most important joy for us, is really connecting with our customers and their excitement for the brand and for, you know, their children wearing them, and both protecting their eyes, the safety angle, and the fashion angle as well.
Well, when I first saw him, and I think I saw him on Ellen, I think was the first time I saw him. I'm not exactly sure about that, but I think the first time I saw him was on Ellen, and I thought, oh, what a great concept. And then I did kind of pair it with the celebrity kids, and I thought, well, these must be pretty expensive. And then I went and I looked them up, and they weren't. And then I know how much sunglasses can cost, because I'm kind of a sunglass freak myself, so I have a broad selection of a lot of sunglasses. So in my mind, I was thinking, well, these are probably going to be expensive, but they weren't expensive at all. And especially in the big scheme of buying things for children, were they like $20 or something like
They're
that?
They're $20. And, we wanted to make sure that we made a product that was affordable for everybody, that yes, it's fashionable and is a high quality product, but still is reachable to everyone, and not something that's totally outlandish, like, you know, $90 sunglasses for your child when they're going to probably, you know, break them or lose them the next day. And we actually took it one step further than that. We actually, you know, when surveying the market before creating Baby Ears, we found number one complaint was that they break, right? Why buy a pair of sunglasses for children if they're going to break the next day? Number two, little Johnny will lose them on the playground, or Sally. And so we actually created what we call our Lost and Found Guarantee. So we're the only children's brand in the world that we know of that guarantees not just against breakage, but also loss. So somebody buys a pair of Babyeaters at their local store or on our website, babyeaters.com. They're inside each box is a little insert card that has a URL to our guarantee registry, where you put your name and your email address, your mailing address, and if you ever lose your pair within the year of purchase, shoot us a little email, and we send you a free replacement pair. So, you know, customers really love this. They know that they're spending $20, but it's basically two pairs for the price of one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you sent me a couple pairs. I have one of the boxes right here in front of me. So when it comes to you, it comes in a box that says Babyeaters on them, and there's two sizes. So there's 0 to 3 years old, mm-hmm. and there's 3 to 7. And then it'll indicate that, and then one of them is Blue Angels Blue, which is really cute. And so, yeah, so you open it up. I'll just open it up real quick right now. And so that card slides right out with the glasses. There's a picture of a child wearing glasses, and it, you know, Babyeaters are the only sunglasses with a Lost and Found Guarantee. Gives you all the information to register it. And then the mm-hmm. little glasses come. They're just as cute as they can be. They're very durable. They're really high-grade plastic. It says UV-400 protection and BPA-free. And then on the other inside of the other little part of the sunglass, it says I'm awesome, which is totally cool. And they're really – I yesterday was with two toddlers, a two-year-old, three-year-old. I put them on both. I let them run around with them. They – bent them and took them off and put them on and tried to put them on each other and warm. And these things just, they were, you know, I'm sure they are destructible, but they did not destruct at all yesterday. And these kids really put them through the ringer, but they loved them. They liked to wear them. When we got in the car, they're like, where's our sunglasses? And
cool.
And they just loved them, and they just held up absolutely fine. And I was a little skeptical. I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I probably have the two kids that are going to break the almost indestructible product. You know, if it would be my kids, if it was anybody, it was my nephew and actually my granddaughter. So, but no, they didn't. They loved it. They switched pairs. People aren't probably going to want to hear this in my family, because I had a boy and a girl, and they were switching pairs, and the pink was kind of going on the boy sometimes, the blue was on the girl. But so they were switching, and they liked it on the other, and they were laughing, they were holding hands, and, you know, I was taking pictures. And then today I had them for, I took them back for the show, and when I saw my granddaughter, who's 3, Sarah, she's like, where's my sunglasses? I said, well,
I love it.
Grandma has a show today. So, I was really impressed with the quality and how durable they were. And then immediately how the kids, I'd met my daughter for dinner the night before, and little Sarah was just, you know, sitting there just being, you know, she likes to be kind of a princess. So she was just sitting there just being really good at the table. And I pulled these out of my purse. I said, hey, you know, what do you think of these? Let's put these on and let me see if you'll keep them on. She automatically went into this kind of totally rock star status. She, like, made these signals with her finger, and she just stuck her tongue out, and she just got totally cool with the whole thing, and she kept them on the whole time we ate dinner, and she didn't at all, you know, want to take them off. And that was kind of what I was fearing more, was that the parent would be, or grandparent or aunt or uncle, whoever, would be wanting to keep them on the child, and the child would be pulling them off. But what I found with you know, two children yesterday is they loved having them on. In fact, they
really
wanted to wear the other person's. Yeah, they didn't have any problem, you know, keeping those things on whatsoever.
I mean, I think once they get to a certain age and they recognize the sort of, you know, wanting to be like mom or dad, they see mom or dad in sunglasses wearing them, not taking them off, looking cool in them, and I think that they want to emulate that. But there is something that just about when, you know, I don't know if it's the bright colors or the design or what, but a child just puts them on, instantly gets this, like, kind of this model-y attitude or something with them, which just makes for the best adorable photos. And you mentioned durability. We actually, you know, we found that the most durable material when researching this was that a flexible rubber instead of more traditional plastic. So ours are actually made out of a rubber where you kind of bend and twist and literally straighten them to a line, and they return to the natural shape, which is how they are so durable and flexible.
Mm-hmm. Well, it passed the test yesterday. That's for sure. I mean, this two-year-old boy was, I mean, he's, you know, all boy, and he was, you know, he had them, you know, because, you know, they don't have the coordination to really, you know, take things off in a gentle manner. They're ripping them off their face and ripping them off someone else's face and swinging around, but then they'd put them back on their face. It was great. It was, you know, they just held up when, you know, went back in the box just fine, you know, no problem. And you guys encourage people to take pictures of their children with their glasses on, and then you put them on your website and you tweet them out. And
we just love
really
it. We love connecting with you know, our customers and sort of building a community around it. And parents love sharing it, and they'll share other pictures too, or you know, website recommendations or other fashion styles. So we have a great community going on Facebook and Twitter, and a lot of, you know, devoted sort of active fans, which is really fun. And I just, it's such a treat to see all the photos come in. And, you know, parents love showing their pictures of their kids, and this is a great way to do it with, you know, everybody styling in sunglasses. So it's really fun. And
absolutely. Well, what all colors do they come in? I know they come in princess pink and aviator blue. Are those
the
two
popular
colors?
We have 10 colors. We have 10 colors in the two different sizes, and that's, you know, our classic colors, which are a black ops, we call it black ops black, rockstar red, princess pink, blue angels blue, which is more of a, like, kind of a darker cobalty blue. And then we have a turquoisey blue we call our beach baby blue. We've got a white called the wicked white, a silver, superstar silver, navy, Nighthawk navy, and then two neon tones. You know, this past year neon has been a sort of a big trend, so we wanted to make sure to capitalize that. So we've got a limelight lime that's like a neon yellowy green, and a two-tone black front with neon pink sides or arms that we call our sneak attack. So lots of different color options.
Oh, yeah.
They're all very vibrant and fun, yeah, they're, you know, you mentioned the box. The box actually makes it, you know, a really great gift. One of our stories about how they love pitching them as for baby showers or birthday party favors or birthday gifts, or on top of another gift if you're buying some clothing, to put a little, you know, the little box on top as part of the present.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, really a fun thing too. Most sunglasses actually just come off a shelf, you know, or off in like a basket even. So, you know, putting it in like a fun box that has like a pop military cartoony vibe, we found actually just coincidentally has made them very giftable, and our stores are very happy about that. So
Right. Yeah, definitely. You know, the box is part of the whole great concept of it. And, yeah, it would absolutely make a wonderful gift. When you buy sunglasses, I guess off the rack or whatever in the store, everyone's kind of tried them on, and they got fingerprints all over them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're just kind of on that spinning rack thing, I guess. And it's not like that at all. So these come from, like, how if you ordered sunglasses or you went to a sunglass store, what you would expect when you would be purchasing sunglasses in that type of a market, an upper-end market for sunglasses. That's how these sunglasses come for $20. Have you thought about going into the adult market at all?
I mean, we get requests for it. Right now, our focus is kids and sort of, you know, expanding other maybe safe, durable. We call it, our motto is safe, durable, and awesome. So we want to make sure they're safe for kids, you know, safe for their skin, safe for their eyes, safe, you know, make sure they're free of harsh chemicals that we might find in other products, durable, and then awesome, just super stylish and fun. So we're looking, you know, considering other safe, durable, and awesome products for kids right now. But you never know. We definitely got requests for the adult versions or matching, like, Mommy and Me sunglasses. So we'll see.
Right. Now, you also run a contest that supports Children's College Education Fund, and that's through part of Baby Eaters as well.
We do. Once in the fall, each fall actually, we do an annual photo contest where we choose the, like, Baby Eaters Baby of the Year, and that's voted by the community, you know, by the fans on Facebook and on Twitter. And the winner gets $1,000 towards, 529 account, which is a tax-free account that goes towards college education.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I was telling the audience before I had brought you on, and then I told you a little bit off air, but my daughter works for a eye doctor. And so they had an office meeting today, and she took, you know, the packaging and the sunglasses and the whole thing in an office meeting, and the eye doctor just loved it. He hadn't heard of it, so obviously he does live under a rock because he should have heard about this, but he does now. And so he was so impressed. He just thought it was a fantastic idea, probably kicking himself that he didn't come up with that idea, and just thought it was, you know, great, because he has been kind of preaching eye protection for, you know, adults and children, but, you know, I guess he didn't quite put together how to do that for your children. But he loved the packaging, loved the way that it was constructed, and just loved the whole idea. And Stephanie, my daughter, said, and they have three offices, and they were going to take this to the next office meeting and the next office meeting and let everyone in all three offices know about that this was an option for parents. They just thought it was a fantastic idea. So it's like I said before, it's kind of a no-brainer once you think about it.
But I know.
What the parent is thinking is that maybe the kid wouldn't keep it on, but my own independent study yesterday showed that they will keep it on, and they will ask for it if they don't have them.
I mean, it's amazing. I think we're going to see a growing trend of doctors, of parents, talking about and being much more mindful about eye protection from the sun, because, you know, it's become so common in terms of, you know, skin protection or protecting your skin from the sun, and it really is just as important to protect the eyes. And we've got, you know, talked to a number of doctors and made sure that it's, you know, 100% UVA and UVB protecting, the highest quality UV, you know, protection you can get out there. And I actually had one doctor tell me, who's an eye doctor, that it's, in terms of sunglasses for your eyes, it's actually more damaging to wear poorly made or the poor quality lenses for your eyes or sun lenses than to wear no sunglasses at all. So if you're wearing the cheapo sunglasses, it actually will do more damage to the eyes. It might, you know, magnify the sun rays or something like this than actually not wearing them. So if you do buy sunglasses, make sure they are 100% UV protecting, or what they call UV 400 ray protecting, so that you're truly protecting your eyes and not just putting something on that's, you know,
right, actually, right, just looks good or whatever. Yeah. Well, as someone who buys a lot of sunglasses, and I spend a lot of money on sunglasses, There's just some things that I will spend money on. One of them is shoes, and one of them is sunglasses. But for $20, I mean, how much money do we spend on our children, and our grandkids, and nieces and nephews, and friends, and gifts, and this is a dual gift. It's something that is functional, but it's fashionable too. It's serving two purposes, and $20, you can own obviously almost every color for that price. And again, I just want to reiterate, they were very durable. The kids were asking for them again today, and they wanted, they're like, where are our glasses? Where's our glasses? They enjoyed it. Their attitude kind of changed. They just loved it. My granddaughter, Sarah, who's 3, and I know everyone's thinking, oh, man, Laura, you're way too old or too young to be a grandma. Well, you're absolutely right. I am too young to be a grandma. But nonetheless, I am. she still has a binky. And so she had her binky and her sunglasses on, you know. So that's quite a picture in itself, the whole binky and the sunglass thing. So, and then you also donate a portion of your profits to Children's Eye Foundation as well.
We do, to help prevent, to help cure preventable blindness in children. So we want to make sure that each purchase, you know, gives a little back. So that's something that we, you know, an important foundation of launching our business.
Absolutely wonderful. Babyaters.com, that's where you can go to find it. I'm glad to hear that Nordstrom did that. Nordstrom is a Seattle company. Of course, they're everywhere now, but they were, you know, founded in the Nordstrom. Their actual name is Nordstrom. They live in Seattle. And so I'm really glad to hear that Nordstrom, you know, was one of the first ones into this for you guys, because it's an awesome idea. And you're going to see it. Now that we've told you about it, if you haven't heard about it, you're going to start seeing it. Like I said, it's been on Ellen. It's been in People magazine. It's been in OK magazine. And Kardashian kids are wearing them. And, you know, you can't escape the Kardashians. So, and then, like I said, you know, I was talking to someone in the UK today, and they're like, I just ordered a pair in the UK. So, I mean, it's spreading around the world, and I just really appreciate you coming on so that I can, you know, share this with, you know, parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, and it's a fantastic idea. I'm so happy that you came up with this.
Oh, I appreciate
you
having me.
From the world.
Thank you.
Well, Babyaters.com, and Molly, I will let you go. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with us so that we can kind of educate more people. And best of luck. I just want nothing but best wishes for you guys.
And
you're probably going to see me. I'm probably going to be buying every single color for everybody I know. I am a 100% believer.
Love it. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye, Lori.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, that was Molly from Babyaters. So Babyaters.com, and just a really fashion-forward and functional, has a great purpose for your kids, for friends' kids, for nieces, nephews, you know, $20. So now we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk to another person doing some great things, and that's Patrick Seibin. And Patrick he has an Emmy. I mean, he's a kid with an Emmy. And he has a fantastic talent. I'm a big fan of his music, Hollow. I played it a couple times. I had the two old hippies on, Molly and Bob Bedell, they own Bedell Guitars, and then they also are in with Breedlove Guitars. And Breedlove has a kind of a stable of artists, and they sent me a lot of their MP3s to play and listen to, and there was several artists that I really enjoyed, and Patrick was one of those artists. So we're going to listen to Hollow, which is one of my favorite songs, and you can listen and determine if you like it. And I'm going to get Patrick on the line. We're going to come in and talk to him about performing with Bon Jovi and performing for President Clinton and Vice President Biden and going over and performing for the troops overseas, which, of course, we certainly appreciate. So I will be right back with Patrick. And this is Hollow. again, and I went out and I found him. He's in Las Vegas, and he agreed to come on with us today. You can find more of his music at patricklasvegas.com. How easy is that? patricklasvegas.com. Thanks, Patrick, for coming on with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, nope. I love that song. Just humor me and tell me about Hollow, because I just love that song. I just cannot get enough of it.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, it really started out, I worked with some excellent producers out in Hollywood on that song, Wax LTD and Wally Gagel and Zandy Berry. My relationship with them started in college. I majored in audio production, studied all the studio production and live performance, and did my internship with them in their studio out in Hollywood, and then just kind of maintained a relationship with them. And, when it came time for me to make this record, they're phenomenal songwriters and producers, and we worked together and created, what I like to believe is a pretty good song.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very lucky to be able to work with them.
It is a great song.
Oh, thank you.
I love it. I've played it before. Like I said, I will play it again. I was thinking about that. I had that song in my head yesterday when I was off somewhere, and I thought, well, don't go listen to it right now, because you're going to be, talking to Patrick tomorrow, and you're going to be playing it tomorrow, and, you just delay the gratification for a little while. Well, how did you start in music? Are you from California?
I'm from Minnesota originally. Everybody
Minnesota.
Guesses California. I don't really, put off a lot of the Minnesota vibes anymore. I'm more the West Coast type of guy. But, yeah, I grew up in a small town in Minnesota, and in high school, I started playing just the local bars around town, and I started playing 4 days a week and just playing as much as I could. And I went to college out in Denver and continued playing music, and it just kind of blossomed into a career. And, it wasn't really a choice for me. I play music. It's what I love to do, and I just had to find a way to make it happen and make it into a career so that I am able to wake up every day and just play music.
Well, you end up in Hollywood, so you must have packed up from Minnesota, and then you moved to the West Coast, which is, real common with musicians and artists. So, you went to school in L.A. area
in
or something?
I went to school in Denver.
Okay.
So,
in Denver.
West Coast
okay,
compared to Minnesota.
Right. Well, yeah. You're inching your way there. That's for sure. So you
got
to Denver. Right. And then and now you're in Vegas.
Now I'm in Las Vegas. That's right. Everybody thinks of the three music towns in America as L.A. and New York and Nashville, but I really think people forget about Las Vegas. I think it's just as much a music town as any of those other three, and it's just a little different form. But everybody comes to Las Vegas, so I can play in Las Vegas all month long, and it's just like being on a tour, except for I'm not going to them; they're coming to me. Everybody comes to Las Vegas, for entertainment, to see shows. And so, I get, when every night I'm playing for people from, Asia and Germany and America, West Coast and East Coast and just all around the world. So it's a great time to play live music.
There's a lot of people coming to Las Vegas next week for the big basketball tournament. So there's a ton of people leaving the Northwest and going to Vegas for the, because Gonzaga basketball team is ranked number one as of this airing, and a lot of them are going down there for the tournament. So, but yeah, I think a lot of people don't think of Las Vegas as a music city, and just as they don't think of Seattle as a music city. But there's great music in Las Vegas, there's great music in Seattle, and there's probably, great music in a lot of towns around the country, but they usually think of maybe Austin or Los Angeles or Nashville, or L.A.
Yeah,
for
has
the
a great
music
scene.
Theme.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Seattle has a great music scene.
It's just not a lot of people, it kind of got lost in the whole grunge thing, and then it had to kind of rebirth itself again, and there's really great things going on. But there's so much talent, just not in Seattle, but just around the world. I mean, we have artists contacting us from the UK and Ireland and, England and Germany. And I mean, these are talented people. These aren't people who just learn to play the guitar and are sending in a song. These are really great, great, it's amazing how much talent is out there. And again, you kind of just don't think about Las Vegas. When you're there, it makes perfect sense, but, I would encourage people to check out, check out the music scene in Las Vegas.
Absolutely. For example, this weekend, you know, everybody's coming out for the NASCAR event this weekend. There's a huge NASCAR event going on this weekend. And we're going to be playing out there with my band, actually, on Sunday, you know, right before the race starts. We're going to be right in the center of the track. And, you know, we're going to be playing for 150,000 people that are there for the NASCAR event on the big stage right in the middle, right before the race starts. And it's just an incredible town to do this in because you have events, you know, maybe it's not NASCAR, maybe it's, you know, the basketball tournament next week, but there's events like that every week, and the town just gets flooded with fans.
Right. Well, is it easy to find work then as a musician in Las Vegas, or is it very competitive, or is it kind of like, you know, I can only speak from the Seattle music scene where there's a big kind of brother and sisterhood of the singer-songwriter, and, you know, there's enough venues to kind of help everybody out, or, you know, what's the vibe like for musicians in Vegas?
Well, there's a lot of places to play in Las Vegas, but there's a whole lot of musicians as well. And you know, I've been lucky to be with a fantastic agent, Steve Byer Productions, and they've really helped me out and, you know, opened a lot of doors for me. And then I think the bottom line is once you get into any of these places, you got to kind of prove yourself. And if you can bring in a crowd and if you can put on a great show, you know, work continues. And I think every artist, every band is different and has a different view on it. But the town has been good to me so far, so I'm very, very fortunate for that.
Is there some place that you play regularly or more times than others? Yeah. If somebody was coming to Las Vegas, that they might confine you?
Absolutely. I play at the Aria in City Center 4 days a week. I'm playing a big show out by the pool tomorrow. There'll be about 1,000 people out there, and that'll be a fun one out by the pool. It's spring's coming around, and we get to do our outdoor shows again. But I also play at the Venetian a lot. But I play all over the Las Vegas Strip, you know, anywhere from New York, New York, the MGM, you know, the Mirage. But if you check out my website, it'll always say when and where I play, at patricklasvegas.com. Mm-hmm. But yeah, absolutely. Aria is a great place to come out and have a great time. It's a brand new casino. I think they spent over $1 billion on it, so it's a gorgeous place. Everybody has to check it out.
Wow, yeah. I mean, you know, who doesn't like Las Vegas? You know, you just
exactly.
I grew up for part of my life in Las Vegas. I was born and kind of raised in San Diego, and then my family went to Las Vegas, and we went back to San Diego. So. I'm really familiar with Las Vegas, but and there's a lot of talent in Las Vegas. But it's when I lived in Las Vegas in the 70s and went to school in Las Vegas in the 70s, it's a completely different Las Vegas now. I was back there in the old timer days, you know, of Vegas,
sure.
Old Vegas, kind of like what you see on the Las Vegas TV show now. But it's a completely different animal now. But still a fantastic, you know, and great place and a good, you know, good place to go to have fun. In fact, my sister and her husband are flying down there on Friday, and they'll be down there for 4 days. So, but you
make sure they
have
come out to one of my shows.
I'm gonna. As soon as I get done, I get off the air. I'm gonna tell. I'm gonna write it down. I'm gonna have them go out there. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm all over that. But you know, you will find, Patrick, when I like something, I really like it. I'm not a stalker, but I remember you forever. And I try to get everybody else to like those same things. You know, stalker fan. There's a fine line.
Well, next time you're in Vegas, you'll have to make it out too. We have a fun time at the shows. You know, I love to play music, but I like to have fun on stage too. You know, it's especially when you're in Las Vegas, people aren't looking for just, you know, a straight up show. They don't just want to come and listen to a bunch of songs. They want to have fun. They want to have a party. They want to have a couple of drinks. They want to dance, and they want to have a good time while they're at the show. So we like to have some fun with the crowd. You know, maybe, you know, call a couple people out and make them a little embarrassed. Don't be worried about it. I won't do it to you. But we like to have a fun time at the shows.
Sure. Well, yeah, that's great. You know, and I completely agree. When you're in Vegas, you want to have a good time. There's just something about, well, I'll tell you, about a couple years ago, me and a whole group of girls, we went down to Las Vegas for a girls' weekend.
Sure.
And we bought, on the way down on the plane, we bought these necklaces that were shot glasses. So the whole way, we're like drinking, pouring in our shot glasses, cheers. We're just like, we're just partying up, all of us, you know, moms. And we get down there, we just have this, you know, fantastic good time, you know, going to shows and, you know, singing and drinking and, you know, just, you know, kind of let loose and in a good way. But on the way back, we were like, we were completely different on the way back because we were tired. And so we all, you know, we didn't have those shot glass necklaces anymore. And I don't even think we were sitting together. I think we were all kind of like tired and bitchy at each other. And we were all sleeping on the plane. And so we were just all kind of like, you know, bent over and asleep. And I don't even think we had makeup on. We just looked like crap. And I heard the guy behind us, in the seat behind us, he nudged the person sitting next to him. He goes, "I flew down with these girls a few days ago." He goes, "They didn't look like this."
Oh, man.
But we were two totally different. I mean, it was all we could do to get back on the plane and get back to Seattle in one piece. But we left it all there, man. We left it all on the dance floor. We had a great time. So that's what people expect, you know, and there's
absolutely
a lot of places to have a great time. And I hope people get out to see you because I really enjoy your music. Well, tell us about your Emmy. You have an Emmy. Not everybody in the world has an Emmy, but you have one. There's a great picture of it sitting on, is that your piano?
Yeah, that is. Yep. That's actually back in Minnesota, I think, the picture that you have.
Okay. All right.
But I have it out here in Las Vegas with me now.
Good. Oh, shoot. Let me tell you, if I had an Emmy, I would put it on a necklace and wear it around my neck. I don't care how, you know, gaudy it looked. I would just carry it around with me all the time. I'd be like charging people $5 to take a picture. Oh, Miami, $5.
I went on a tour to Kuwait. It's a little country in the Middle East, and I went with a fantastic organization called Serving Our Troops, and they asked me to go along, you know, to be the musical entertainment. So we went to Kuwait, and we went to an army base about 10 miles away from the Iraqi border, and there are about 10,000 U.S. soldiers stationed on this army base. And they're out there, you know, for a year or more at a time. And it's just this desolate area in the middle of the desert. And, you know, just these tents set up, you know, and all these soldiers stationed out there, you know, protecting us. But, you know, they have a couple amenities there, you know, but, and I say this roughly, you know, they have a little tent
right
up where they can get a cup of coffee, you know, or something, just to make them feel like they're at home a little bit. But, you know, it was really amazing for me to be able to go out there, and we set up a stage and set up a sound system, and I played a show for them out there, and just anything that, you know, brought them back to home. You know, I'm from America, so it brought them back to America. We had a bunch of, you know, I grew up in Minnesota, so we had a bunch of Minnesota soldiers out there, and we were able to talk about, you know, going to the Mall of America or just something to bring them back home for a day just to kind of relieve them from what they're doing over there. It was really the most amazing show I've ever played in my life. But we had a little camera crew over there, filmed up some footage, and we ended up winning an Emmy for it. So we're very excited about that.
Congratulations! Yeah, that's
well,
awesome. Well, thank you for you know, supporting the troops, absolutely, and going over there, and then congratulations on the Emmy. I wish more people would, you know, participate in that support for troops. You know, because they do feel like, you know, that they're missing out on a lot at home because they are stationed in not the best conditions for long periods of time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was very fortunate to be able to go over and do it. I would love to do it again. And, you know, we couldn't do – I couldn't be performing here in Las Vegas every night like I am now without what they do for us over there. You know, we couldn't have any of this without everything they do for us.
Well, you're real close to that. There's a military base right there. You have Nellis Air Force Base right there. The Thunderbirds come out of there, and there's
absolutely
other supporting, you know, there's other military bases, you know, out in the, you know, out in the desert, some Army and Marine bases. But you have Nellis right there, so I'm sure that you see a lot of military, you know, people coming and going.
Yeah, we do see a lot of them over here, and, you know, it's great to have them out at the shows, and, you know, I love it when they come out to support my music, and, you know, I like to go and perform for them as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you also performed for President Clinton and Vice President Biden. How was that?
Oh,
were you nervous?
That was pretty incredible. Yeah, of course you're a little nervous. You're playing for, you know, former president or the current vice president. Yeah, of course you're a little nervous. But I think I was more nervous when we were sound checking and Secret Service came in to kind of, you know, sweep the area. And we're standing on stage and just kind of getting the dirty looks from them. And you don't really know what to think. You don't know if they like you or not. But we started playing the James Bond theme song, and I think that kind of lightened the mood a little bit.
Well, yeah, you know, it's one of those things. It's when they're around, of course, you know that you haven't done anything wrong. But then there's that thing that always runs through the back of your mind, like, what if somebody put something or there's something that I didn't know about? Or, I mean, weird things start going through your mind.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's a rock band. Everybody looks at a rock band twice. You know, you don't know what to expect.
Exactly. Anything could happen. You don't think
That's
it
right.
will, but it, I mean, there's always that weird possibility.
Absolutely.
Well, what's next for you? Are you going to go on the road? Are you going to? Do you have a new album coming out? What are you doing with your career that we could look forward to?
You know, I'd love to, you know, tell everybody to come to Las Vegas and see some of my shows right now. We're having a great time here. I'm writing a lot for a new record right now. It should be released, you know, sometime early next year. Hopefully we're finishing it up, you know, sometime early next year.
Nice.
But I've been writing a lot with that. You know, I'm going to work with some amazing producers and songwriters that we haven't really announced yet. But it should be an awesome record, and we're really excited to make it.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it. You'll have to keep me in the loop on that when you release that, because if it's anything like your last couple albums, it's just, you know, it's going to be fantastic. You're just, you have a lot of talent. You're just a very nice guy, and I just only wish the best for you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. So I'm glad that you had a fellow Breed Love artist on the show a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, you know, it was funny because I had the Two Old Hippies on my show. They own the Two Old Hippies store in Nashville and Aspen, and they've been getting a lot of press. They've been in People magazine, just the nicest people. And they own Bedell Guitars, and Bedell Guitars is also kind of with Breedlove. And so when I was talking to them, they said, you know, we have these artists, and we can send you some MP3s, you know, if you want to listen to them and pick out a couple artists you want to, you know, play or whatever. I said, sure, you know, send them over. So they sent me over quite a few. There's a, you know, again, there's just a lot of talented people, so I listened through all those. Yours was, of course, one that I just really liked right off the bat, so I put it up immediately. That was the very first one that I went through, and then there's just been one after another on. I have another artist coming on next week. She's 13 years old, and Sonia Dion is her name, and so she's a Bedell artist, but she's going to come on, and you know, she's really good for. She started at 12, you know, and now she's 13, and so she's really good, and there's just been kind of one after another. I've just been really impressed with the Breedlove artists, and all the artists have just been really nice and great to work with, and it just, you know, just happened that for whatever reason, I listened to yours first, and I just loved it immediately. Put it up immediately. I've been running it practically on every show. So.
Well, thank you. That's awesome. But, no, I mean, the Breedlove guitars inspire great music. So I've been playing them since high school, and you know, whenever I write songs on guitar, it's always my Breedlove in my hands, and I, you know, mm-hmm. So they're great.
Well, I have a friend, Roger Fisher. He's was with the band Heart. In fact, he's going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in a couple weeks, and Roger's been on my show, and anyway, I was at his birthday party last week, and we were talking about Breedlove, of course, and, you know, came up in conversation about guitars, and he was just down at that NAMM event, and he's like, I just, you know, went to their booth, and he goes, I was really impressed with their guitars. He goes, I played their guitars. I played, I think it was a mandolin or something that he played, and he said, I was really impressed. And he didn't have to say that. I mean, we weren't on the air. We weren't nothing. This was just two people talking at a birthday party. I mean, he could have told me, you know, who knows what, you know, but he just went on and on about how impressed he was with the Breedlove product. I'm a Taylor guitar player personally, but I've been so impressed by the Breedlove company, the Bedell company, their artists, and how genuine everyone has been that I will probably go pick up a Breedlove guitar just out of support. And, you know, Roger said they had a great product, and, you know, he would know. And I'm really looking forward to getting over to the Guitar Center or maybe over to Oregon and picking up a Breedlove guitar real soon here. It's just quality people all the way around. It's just a great organization. It's been my experience.
Yeah, they've been great to me. You know, you won't regret it if you do. You know, after I get done playing, you know, playing my shows, I'll get home at the end of the night, you know, exhausted from playing, you know, a long night of music, but I'll still sometimes, you know, sit in my bed at 4 o'clock in the morning after the show and just pick up my guitar and just play if I can't put it down.
Yeah, that's how you know you love it, you know.
Absolutely.
And how many guitars do you have, Patrick?
Oh, I got quite a few.
Yeah, all guitars do.
I know. I have I play Breedlove acoustics, and I play Gibson electrics, and you know, I have a handful of each of them. You know, I like them. They're my babies. It's what I like to wake up to in the morning.
All guitars have a lot of guitars. I've come to find that out. I just have a couple, but I just noticed all my friends who are guitarists. I have Randy Hansen coming on next week, and Randy he's been a guitarist for ever. He wrote the first 17-minute score to Apocalypse Now that ended up winning the Academy Award, and Randy's going to be on next week. And he sent me a picture of him with all of his guitars. I couldn't even see him for all of the guitars. I'm like, where are you with the guitars?
Well, my collection isn't quite like that.
Well, you know, when you've been in the business 40 years, we'll take a picture of you and we'll say, where's Patrick in this picture? But you're a lot younger than Randy. Of course, you won't like me saying that, but you're a lot younger than Randy, and so, you know, you have a lot of guitars. But that's just part of being a guitar player.
It is. They all have their different, they all have a different life, you know. It's a different animal. They all have their own sound and their own use. So you got to have the right guitar for the right song.
Exactly. Well, Patrick, thank you for coming on. We certainly appreciate it. I'm glad that we could, you know, share a little bit of your story with our listeners. And I encourage everyone to go to patricklasvegas.com. I encourage you, if you're in Las Vegas, to go see Patrick and support him. He's a good guy. He's supporting the troops. Come on, he's supporting the troops. We've got to support Patrick. That's how it works. So we like to promote nice people doing great things. Patrick, I certainly appreciate everything that you're doing. I'm going to continue to follow your career. And when that new album comes out, come back on.
You got it. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
No, it was fun. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. So that was Patrick Sieben, and just a great kid out of Las Vegas. And if you're going to Las Vegas, check out his website, patricklasvegas.com, patricklasvegas.com. Next week, we're going to have on Patty Duke. She won an Academy Award. She was the youngest Academy Award winner for many, many years. She won at 16, and she's won numerous Emmys, Golden Globes, has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She's going to come on and talk to us. And we also have, as I said, quite a few guests coming up. Randy Hansen's coming on. Randy has played with anybody who's anybody. He's one of the greatest guitarists living today. He plays like Jimi Hendrix. He's one of only a couple artists who plays like Jimi Hendrix, endorsed by the Hendrix family, and Randy is one of those people. He, like I said, Francis Ford Coppola called him up personally and asked him to write the score on Apocalypse Now, so just a highly talented individual. And then, of course, we have our past shows that are always available on demand through iTunes. You can get them on Seattle Wave Radio, and you can also get them on Blog Talk Radio. So there's a lot of different ways to access the shows, the past shows. I encourage you to go to the past shows. We've had some great guests on in the past, and we will continue to have great guests on in the future. Yesterday we had Regina Brett. She wrote When God Never Blinks, and just a great little essays on how to encourage yourself throughout life. She's been on the Today Show. She's a New York Times bestseller, a very, very nice person. And again, you know, we appreciate nice people listening to our show, and we try to highlight nice people. So if you know a nice person, we forward our show on to them. Takes a village to create a radio show and get the word out to people, and I certainly appreciate all of your support. So we're going to go out with another Breedlove artist. This is Freebird, and I will see you next time.